hell?
I keep it in my pocket. I never know when the big boys will want to play.
Anya spun and swung out her right leg, hitting the thug low behind the knee. Standing over him, she swept her sword hand down across the back of Murphy's skull with the hilt. The thug dropped onto both hands and knees, but wasn't out. He grabbed her ankle and pulled, upsetting her balance. A swipe of her blade cut through Murphy's forearm. Flesh and muscle parted and blood oozed from the deep cut. That stopped him from pulling out his gun. Stepping wide and wielding the sword with both hands high at her shoulder, Anya defied him to approach her. From the corner of her eye, she saw Neville on his cell phone. The thug next to him stood with his arms crossed high over his chest.
No more.
Gun out.
Murphy gingerly reached in for the gun and tugged it out by the grip. He set it on the ground before him.
Shove it away.
He did, sending it under the SUV.
Score one for Anya Creed.
The thug standing next to Neville put his hands to his hips to expose his hardware. Anya approached, but he didn't go for the draw. Well-trained thugs were always appreciated. Neville rubbed his tattooed wrist. She couldn't get a good look at the tattoo.
You're quite an interesting woman, Anya. You're sticking your nose into the business of people you don't even know.
And here I thought our conversation on the way here indicated friendship. Where's the other guy? Slater.
Slater should be watching you right now instead of leaving the task for me. I believe you've been warned once or twice to leave us alone. I have been beyond tolerant, Anya.
I noticed your lack of manners when you shot Wesley.
You see what a hazard you are to me.
Neville thrust out a hand, and the thug put a pistol into his palm. Neville checked the cartridge, slapped it sharply into place, but didn't aim it at Anya.
I can't have you running about telling that information to anyone.
If you wanted me dead, you would have shot me by now.
Perceptive. Tell me, where does a fashionable young television host come by such a big, bad sword? You're skilled with it, but is it so practical to get through customs?
It's something I picked up at a souvenir shop. Where's Eric Kritz? He wasn't doing anything wrong, just out for some silly forest shots. He probably didn't even set foot on your dig.
The redhead? You don't know? The other crowd got him. I understand they're thick in that forest. People wander in. Some are never seen again. Some are found days later, wandering, babbling about seeing fairies.
Eric was taken by a man. I have the video proof.
I'll need that camera, you understand?
We can trade. Eric for the camera.
I don't make bargains.
Then you'll have to shoot me and hope I haven't already passed the video along to the authorities. Or, for that matter, reported Wesley Pierce's death.
Go ahead. I have the Guardie on my payroll.
I thought we were being honest with each other.
I am. You haven't seen the police wandering the site looking as if they're interested in solving any cases, have you? Yes, we've located the truck just out of Kinsale. You take care of the woman? You lost her. Yes, check the hospital. She may have stopped there looking for that nosy cameraman. We'll talk later.
Neville slapped the cell shut and tucked it in a pocket.
You're a popular gal, Anya. Everyone wants you. But here's the thing. I need you to do a little job for me. You ever drive an armored truck?
Nope.
It's easy. Just a few more gears than you're used to. You'll pick it up.
Boss!
The bleeding thug leaned against the SUV trunk and pointed toward the truck. Anya spied a man step around the front of the armored vehicle. Dressed from head to toe in black, he cradled an AK-47 across his shoulder, the long barrel tilted toward the sky. In her peripheral vision, more men appeared, spreading ranks out from their leader. She spun and counted 10 men total before she turned a complete circle and caught Neville's tense expression.
Friends of yours?
Bandits. Shit.
One of the men, obviously the leader, stepped forward from the ranks that had surrounded Anya and Neville and his men. He approached with the rifle barrel held up against his shoulder, displayed as a means to show who had the most firepower. Black pants and a ragged black t-shirt fit a stout, muscular build. A knit, multicolored beret capped scruffy dark hair. Before he got close enough, Anya swept her right hand out and threw the sword under the SUV. She then released it into the otherwhere. She couldn't fight all of them. 10 feet from where Anya stood next to Neville, he stopped, hooking the gun over his forearm, barrel pointed at Anya and Neville.
Uniquely entertaining show. Hello, love. The bird is talented with a fancy sword, and I suspect none too pleased with her situation if she's having a go at one of your own.
Just a little play, all in good fun.
The leader cast a glance over his shoulder. Some of the men standing in a defensive chain about their leader joined in. Each held a rifle or AK-47 aimed on them.
I see you've located my truck.
Lots of weapons inside that vehicle. Plenty valuable.
I'm willing to sell. If you can pay the price, I'll let you have it for $10,000.
Oh. Oh, feck me, but you've got it wrong. That is my truck. You cannot sell a man what is already his.
Neville bowed his head and swallowed, fighting aggression, Anya knew. One of his thugs stood by the SUV and was guarded by a gunman wielding an AK-47. The one on the ground was surrounded by three gunmen sporting the same. Anya wondered what Neville'd done with the pistol he'd been holding earlier.
And how much are you selling your truck for?
Oh, the truck? I can let you drive away with it for, $5,000. But the contents will cost you 30,000 quid.
The weapons are barely worth 10,000. I'll give you 20,000 euros for the arms and the vehicle.
Are you fat in the head? You're offering euros? Have you looked at the currency exchange lately? What kind of businessman do you take me for? You're duping me 17%, mate. I don't like those terms. Do we like those terms, boys? Do you believe this? Is that how he treats you, love? Does he take you to the cheap pubs and treat you like you're second class?
Okay. I'll pay the 30,000 pounds.
The price just went up to 50,000. And the bird included. You can come along with us, love. No second class treatment from me and me boys. Nothing but the best for you. I have jewels. You like jewels?
I'm not much into the sparkly stuff. But thanks anyway.
I can't let her go. She's my driver.
Oh, then you'll have to cover the difference in price. What do you think she's worth? 10, 20 quid?
You get your whores rather cheap.
I'm talking thousands, you bastard.
Your price is too rich for my blood. The weapons are old. They've been sitting in storage for almost a decade. You can have them.
That is what I had intended from the beginning.
The leader gestured to a man at his side, but then stopped him. Anya followed his gaze across the horizon. Neville turned to eye the oncoming vehicle. Slater advanced slowly in the jeep. He couldn't be aware of what was going down, and yet if the man were at all trained in conflict, he wouldn't be stupid. The entire crew of bandits raised their weapons and aimed at the vehicle. Slater stopped and exited slowly, arms held high to show compliance. The sun flashed on his amber sunglass lenses.
He's my man.
The man who was supposed to keep an eye on your truck?
A gunman met Slater, and with a shove of his assault rifle into Slater's side, escorted him to stand beside Anya. Slater played along and did not retaliate for the abuse.
What's going on? I got your call. These men don't look like the receivers we hired.
They've taken control of the truck and want to sell it back to me for 50,000.
Don't forget the bird.
50,000 is steep. You buying?
Forgot my checkbook. I don't need this batch. They're substandard and rusty, half a riddled with sand and dirt.
Well, now, we shouldn't be so hasty. Little sand never interfered with the operation of a Kalashnikov. Give it a shake and clean it once in a while, you've got a fine weapon. Just so you know, I did bring the checkbook. You want me to sign the check? Like the man said, the guns are probably dirty, so it'll be difficult to sell them.
Then how will you sell them?
We've got established partners who are willing to take less than desirable weapons on occasion because they know we'll deliver the top goods when requested. So, is it a sale or not?
The leader glowered at Anya.
She's not included. I'll put in an extra £5,000 to cover the loss to you.
No checks. I'm not much for financial institutions.
I imagine not. So let me show you what I'm willing to offer instead of paper.
Taking command of the show, Slater slowly lowered his right hand.
It's in my pocket. I'm just going to take it out slowly.
Reaching into his left breast pocket, Slater drew out something that produced a big grin on the leader's face. His men nodded approval. The rough diamond caught the sun as Slater held it between two fingers.
Where the hell?
Not from our cache. Found it on Pierce's body. Nice size, yes? Estimated cut will yield up to 10 carats. Worth 100 G's easily. It's grade A, flawless.
The leader held out his hand, and Slater slowly placed the stone in his palm.
It's a pretty stone. Much easier to sell than a truckload of weapons. Hell, you can go buy yourself 6 truckloads with that rock.
You would pay 6 times the price I am asking for a truckload of rusty old guns?
My boss has a client waiting for a shipment. You're forcing us to make the sacrifice.
That is what I do best.
The leader studied the diamond again.
We have a deal. But I do not like to walk away without a bonus.
Bonus.
The leader aimed his weapon at the truck. 1 bullet deflated the rear tire. He nodded and hooked his gun over a shoulder. Turning, he walked off without another word. The surrounding bandits maintained position until their leader had descended beneath the rise of low blue gorse. Then they left in shifts, until finally the last disappeared as stealthily as they had appeared.
Seriously? You stole a diamond off a dead man?
He wasn't going to use it.
Nice timing, Slater, but we didn't need those arms.
Now, what are we going to do with the woman?
Like I said, she's my driver.
You're going to let her drive to the warehouse? We don't need another piece of collateral damage. Leave her here. She can walk to wherever it was she came from.
You were supposed to get rid of her.
I don't snuff women. And she's a television personality. People know where she is, and they'll know if she goes missing. It'll be bad for business. You ask me, whoever thought nabbing that cameraman was a good idea should have been thinking more clearly.
Then she comes along. We need someone to drive the truck.
I'll drive.
No, you help the lady up into the driver's seat. I want you to bring up the rear in the Jeep.
I need to know for certain Eric will be released if I do this.
He's out of it right now, unable to talk.
High on LSD, just like Beth.
Beth was a mistake.
Why didn't you kill her right away?
I'm not a cruel man, like you want to believe, Anya.
There were others missing as well.
A few people got in the way. I took measures into hand. Now, I do love this chat. It's so rare an intelligent woman intrigues me. But I want to get rolling before the sun sets.
You think this truck will get far with a flat tire?
Got it under control.
Neville gestured to his uninjured thugs, who shuffled toward the back of the truck and began to release the spare tire from the undercarriage.
Slater, why don't you get Murphy and Miss Creed situated while we wait?
Slater slapped a hand on Anya's shoulder. She kicked his shin, setting him off balance, and he landed on the ground. A gun barrel stabbed her under the chin.
Play nice, Anya. It won't do your friend any good if you're dead.
Anya nodded and put up her hands in placation. A shove from the pistol pointed her toward the truck cab. Slater slapped a hand on her shoulder and shoved her forward, but didn't release her.
Drive. Follow Neville to the warehouse. Whatever you do, don't get out of the cab. These vehicles have been outfitted specially. The windshield should be bulletproof.
Should be?
You're a bloody pest.
One final shove put her beside the truck cab.
Open it!
Anya stepped and opened the door. A body fell from the driver's seat. She jumped to the side to avoid getting plowed to the ground by the dead weight.
Martin, get this thing out of the way!
Martin, who had put the spare tire in position, walked over and gripped the driver's body under both arms. Half the skull was gone. Anya guessed he'd taken a high-caliber shot at close range.
Hop in, Miss Creed.
Steeling herself to put the dead man out of her thoughts worked only so long as it took to look over the spray of blood across the back of the beaded wooden seat cover. Small chunks of skull bone and flesh glinted with the sunlight. Slater invaded her space so quickly, Anya didn't realize he'd cuffed her left wrist to the steering wheel with a plastic zip tie until it was too late.
I can't sit in here with this...
He pressed his bulk along the length of her body and leaned in to wipe across the seat back with his sleeve.
You are far too comfortable with dead bodies and their parts.
Comes with the territory. Now play nice if you want to get out of this alive. Got that?
Is that offer still good to put me on a flight out of the country?
Expired when you decided to become a royal pain in my arse.
Get away from me. That's good enough.
Slater jumped down and Anya settled onto the seat. It was so large she didn't need to sit all the way back against the wet beads. She wrestled with the zip tie.
I'm not going to jump out of a moving vehicle.
I certainly hope not.
Slater shugged off his suit coat, the sleeve thick with human remains, and tossed it to the ground. Neville approached the truck.
The directions are programmed in the GPS, but the SUV will drive ahead of you so you won't get lost. Don't need you diverting off course. Now, I'll let Martin give you a little instruction on driving a truck, and then we'll send you off. Good day, Miss Creed. Happy to have you on board.
Neville and his entourage drove a quarter mile ahead of Anya. The SUV didn't push beyond 30 kilometers an hour. She knew passing them on this narrow road and taking off for freedom was out of the question. Anya wanted to follow Neville to the warehouse, or wherever it was he was leading her. If the slightest chance existed that she'd find Eric at their destination, she couldn't pass it up. She'd gotten the hang of the ride and could manage steering without twisting her wrist. But a sharp turn caused the thin plastic zip tie to bite into her flesh. Shifting the sword in her grip, she carefully clasped the blade and worked it under the plastic band. The zip tie severed. Freedom obtained. Now to follow the bad guys to their lair. 10 minutes into the drive, Anya's cell phone rang. She tugged her cell phone from her pocket and checked the caller ID.
Garin?
Sucking in her upper lip, she vacillated on whether to answer. The front of the truck swerved dangerously close to the gravel shoulder. Gripping the wheel, she realigned the truck on the road. She checked the side mirror. Slater, behind her, hadn't reacted. The Jeep remained 4 car lengths away.
No time for chatting.
She tossed the phone onto the passenger seat. He could leave a message. Though she could handle the stick shift on the gravel roads, she had to keep a keen eye out for bumps and stray turtles. And sheep. And keep far enough behind Neville. The SUV stirred up the dust.
No time for this, Garin. Not unless you can swoop in and save my ass.
Anya let the call go to voice messaging. The green fields segued to city grays and tarmac as their cavalcade entered the outskirts of Kinsale. The delivery truck bumped across a railroad track. Thinking it was Garin again, she ignored the cell phone. Finally, she slapped it open.
Yes?
Anya, I've been cut off.
Slater?
Anya checked the side mirror. No sign of his Jeep.
What's up? How'd you get my number?
Never mind. I wasn't able to beat the train. I think it'll put me about 5-10 minutes behind you. There's a harbor in Kinsale that Neville has been accessing for the river drop-offs. First, you stop at a warehouse to load more weapons.
If Eric is there...
I know. You intend to save the day. Don't be stupid, Anya. The man shot Wesley in cold blood. You think he's going to let you live after you arrive at your destination?
No. And I'm not being stupid. I just wasn't given the run now and seek freedom option.
Anya, listen to me. Follow Neville to the warehouse, but don't drive inside. Once he's got you inside, your number's up. Stay outside, you hear me?
Uh-huh.
I can't hear you.
Okay, stay inside the truck. Dangerous inside the warehouse. Windows are bulletproof. What are you going to do? You can't blow your cover.
I don't intend to. I'll figure something out.
Figure something out? You don't have a plan?
Trust me, Anya.
I'll meet you in the city.
The SUV pulled into a warehouse at the edge of the small harbor town. Anya suspected it wasn't large enough to be a major shipping port and probably catered to fishing boats, maybe the odd yacht or two. That was a lot more convenient for running guns than a larger port, which would employ a port authority to check all incoming and outgoing shipments. She noted the warehouse was set apart from what looked like the city proper. It was private, and there were no residential houses in the immediate vicinity. The warehouse sat at the bottom of a hill that blocked direct view of the sea. The harbor was ahead, flocks of white seagulls her clue. The clear blue sky looked too perfect for this moment. She slowed the truck to a stop before the corrugated steel warehouse door that slowly rose on pulleys. Neville's vehicle drove inside and parked. The man got out and shook hands with a waiting man. A couple of men who were already in the warehouse rushed to the SUV to assist. Murphy, clutching his injured arm, was helped out. He flipped off Anya and unstrapped his gun. Neville signaled with a wave of his hand for her to drive forward and park to the right next to the steel loading ramp. Normally, a truck such as she drove would back inside to be loaded. She was facing forward, and she didn't intend to drive any farther into the lion's den. Shifting into park, Anya scanned the side mirrors for the cavalry. It had been 5 minutes. Slater had to be close behind.
Come on, ye! What's the holdup?
Anya waved the thug off and locked the door.
I didn't exactly promise to sit tight.
A quick count tallied 4 men besides the wounded Murphy and Neville. All were armed. She surveyed the loading ramp that angled up to a wooden dock. It was stacked with the same wooden boxes she'd seen being hauled to the river the other night. Weapons and ammunition set to be loaded into the truck she sat in, along with the guns already inside, and then driven to the harbor, was her guess.
Oh!
The windshield cracked. The glass did not shatter, but the crackling continued out from the initial hit, spidering to all corners of the window. Neville stood in front of the delivery truck, his pistol aimed for a second shot. Bulletproof generally meant no cracks, at least not as much as this windshield was cracking. The vehicle was old. She had maybe 2 or 3 more shots before the bullets pierced the window.
I can't just sit here.
Unlocking the door and opening it, Anya gave it a kick. The thug standing outside took the steel door in the jaw and stumbled backward, hitting the concrete. Anya summoned the sword to hand. In the compact truck cab, it stretched out over the passenger seat. Anya leaped out into the fray. Thug number one lay sprawled on the loading dock floor. He was out cold after Anya had clocked him in the jaw with the truck door. He still held the pistol in hand, which she had time to kick across the floor. It landed under the left front tire of the truck. She now had only 3 thugs to deal with. Murphy was standing, but she wasn't too worried about his ability to fight with his wounds, and Neville remained an amused bystander. From the back of the warehouse, where the loading platform stood 4 feet high, 2 men in sandy-colored overalls charged at her. They didn't pull out guns. As they got closer to Anya, they synchronized their moves. Arms stretched out, they clasped the forearm of the other to form a bar between them. Sword blade upright, Anya pumped her arms and ran toward the men. 3 feet from the oncoming battering ram, she leaped, did a somersault in the air, and came down on bended knee behind the 2 surprised thugs. Lunging up to stand and swinging the sword in warning toward the thugs, she turned, bringing her sword arm down and behind her as she faced Neville. He crossed his arms high on his chest and shrugged, his gun tucked in his waistband. At the moment, Anya detected no danger from him, and so focused on the 3 remaining deterrents to her continued breathing. Behind Neville, the loading platform stretched along the wall. One end was connected to a steel roller ramp used to slide boxes into a waiting truck. The other end stopped at the wall. On the 2nd floor, at the top of a stairway that hugged the brick wall, an office door caught her eye. Anya made a run for it and jumped onto the platform. The 2 thugs who had failed to corral her earlier moved to opposite ends of the platform, and they clambered up in pursuit. She met the first as he charged into her body. The impact loosened her grip on the sword. He punched her in the gut, and her shoulders hit the corrugated steel wall. Releasing the sword into the other wear, Anya gave her opponent an open-palmed smack against his jaw. Following quickly with another palm-heel jab to his ribs, she kept the punches coming, keeping her elbows in close and head down. She pressed her opponent backward against the wall and was grabbed from behind. 2 iron-strong arms banded about her shoulders and upper chest. Sucking in a breath, Anya kicked from her standing position, pushing backward, but she couldn't topple her aggressor. Calling the sword to hand, she slashed it across the other thug's chest. The thug holding her lifted her off the ground. Wrapped in her opponent's grasp, together they teased gravity. They both landed hard on the floor, but Neville's man took the brunt. Thankful for the padded landing, she pushed off from the thug's barrel chest. He was out cold. Standing, she turned, sword in hand. just in time to catch the other man as he leaped from the platform and into her embrace. With no time to swing, she sent the sword clattering across the floor while she wrangled with the man who was bleeding profusely from his chest. Anya dropped, twisting, so the man would be beneath her when they landed on the floor. Not allowing him time to think through his next move, Anya gripped his head on both sides, grabbing hair, and slammed the back of his skull into the floor. The first hit made him blink. With the second, he stopped moving at all. She sensed someone rush toward her as she knelt over the fallen man. It was Murphy, and he was injured, but determined. Anya rolled off the man's body and looked up to find Murphy's feet swept out from under him. Slater had his arm locked across the man's neck. He applied pressure to both sides of his neck, focusing on the carotid, reducing the man to unconsciousness. A gun safety sliding off alerted Anya. It was Neville, aiming squarely for her forehead.
God, I love a woman who can fight. Really turns me on.
Anya scrambled to her feet, and she backed toward the truck, keeping herself in the middle between Slater and Neville. Slater stepped before Anya in a protective stance.
Whoa, Frank! What's going on?
I can ask you the same. What's with the hero stuff? Fighting on the wrong side?
I'm trying to keep down the casualty count.
You weren't hired for that.
No, but I was hired for discretion. If you'd kept the barge captain out of the land operation, we wouldn't even have this problem right now because no one would have been kidnapped to get them out of the way.
I'm disappointed in you, Slater. Taking the woman's side?
You know whose side I'm on. We can't be murdering innocent women now, can we?
I can, and I will, if that is what is required from one with a spine. Christ, no wonder this operation is going tits up. But I will admit, you're right. Miss Creed is far too interesting to dispose of in such an unoriginal manner. Bullets are so passé. I'll say it again, she's quite the talent. Amusing to watch her take out my men so easily. I won't even ask about the sword. I have a feeling that falls somewhere along the lines between mysterious castles of diamonds and the other crowd.
Where is Eric?
You don't get to talk. And you had better do some fast talking.
Just preventing collateral damage.
You always have my back, Slater. You've been a valuable asset to my team. But we can't let her stroll out of here now. She's seen everything.
Miss Creed can keep her mouth shut.
Are you going to see to that?
If I have to.
You've done a lousy job of it so far. I think you and the woman have a thing going on.
That is ridiculous.
You don't say that very convincingly. The only reason you would protect her is if you're involved with her. Honestly, I don't care who you screw on your own time, Slater, but in this situation, your extracurricular shagging has caused me one hell of a headache.
We are not...
Shut up! I know how to handle this. We're going for a ride, the three of us. I'm tired of you shadowing me, Slater. I should have done this days ago.
Neville nudged one thug with his foot. The man managed to pull himself up to stand. He was the least damaged of the men and quickly retrieved a rifle and magazine from a nearby box. He directed Anya and Slater to the SUV Neville had arrived in. They reluctantly approached the car.
Anya, you were supposed to wait inside the cab until the cavalry arrived.
Did you take a look at my final resting place?
Bloody hell. Sorry. You okay?
Sure. Did you blow your cover?
Let's hope not.
Neville did the honors. He handcuffed Anya to a rusty length of chain with links so thick they looked designed to securely hold tugboats. It would definitely keep her in place. Slater, too. The chain ran through an iron loop attached to a 500-pound iron anchor. On the other side of the loop, Slater grimaced as Neville's man secured his wrists. He hadn't struggled since Neville had taken them in hand. It would serve him to keep up the act. MI6 did not need one of their own revealed, even if he was two steps and a forced leap away from death.
You've been nothing but trouble since day one, Creed. Should have put a bullet in your brain when I first had the thought.
The pretty ones are always the most difficult to kill. More fun to shag, though, eh? You had potential, Slater. Your work was appreciated. Until you tried to screw me over. Any last words?
Neville patted Slater's chest and drew out folded sunglasses from his chest pocket.
Not the Ray-Bans, mate. Those are my best pair.
You think it's going to be bright where you're going, Slater?
I can hope.
Neville returned the sunglasses to Slater's pocket and slapped his cheek.
Any brightness will be from the flames, mate. Drop them!
Slater lunged near Anya's cheek,